Well, good morning, church. All right, welcome to week six of our teaching series, Worship is War. And let me give you the lay of the land for the next couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to wrap up our series together. So this will be a seven-part series. We're going to wrap it up looking at our last hymn next week. Next week is also Memorial Day weekend. And in the midst of that, that is our lowest attended Sunday. So if you're going to go camping, which camping is awful to me. Awful. I like glamping, not camping. But if you are camping and you're gone next week, stay in touch. This is what I love, our camera operators, our production team, able to stay connected through next week. Just watch online, okay? Watch online next week if you're gone. So we'll wrap up the series next week. The week after that, we'll have one more Sunday in May. We're going to do a communion worship set that Sunday. And then the first Sunday in June, we're going to do RLC Celebrate. And it's going to be cool because actually this month, the church's name, going from Sturgis Wesleyan Church to Radiant Life Church, is 10 years old now that we have been Radiant Life Church. It's our 10-year anniversary. On top of that, this church is 80 years old. Okay? It's 80 years old. So that Sunday, we're going to celebrate, and it's going to be a celebration Sunday. Then the following Sunday, which would be the second week of June, we're going to kick off our summer teaching series called The Right Side Up Kingdom. And it's all about the Sermon on the Mount. And all summer long, we're going to dive into the words of Jesus Christ found in Matthew 5 verses through chapter 7. And we're diving in of what is this? This is the best sermon ever preached, and it was Jesus. And we're going to dive in and understand how do we live out kingdom values and principles that Jesus lays out for us. And so that's where we're going to go in the summer. Sound good? All right, as we change things up today, I'm a little tired. I didn't realize how exhausting getting up and down out of that water, out of that tank was. Thank you. I have three pairs of clothes to change in and out between services today. And I went out there, and Pastor Brandon goes, after that message, there's going to be a line to throw balls at you. So it gives you a heads up of where we're going today. If I'm honest, I'm going to step on a lot of toes. It's because I love you enough to bring truth and step on your toes. I don't want to give you a message that scratches and itches your ear because your flesh wants something else. So before I jump in, I want us to pray. And know this, I love you, and if at all during the message you feel uncomfortable, will you please take it to the Lord? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the words of Jesus. No, you're not going to hear a spirit of condemnation from me today. You're just going to hear truth and let the Spirit convict where he needs to convict. Amen? When I wrote this message, I was fiery all week. You know why? Because I want to storm the gates of hell with a squirt gun. That's what I want to do. And I hope this rubs off on you. Okay, I really do. So let's pray before we read God's word together. Holy God, help us to become aware of where we're missing the mark. Sin, it's an archery term used in Scripture, God. We miss the mark. We're missing the mark when it comes to following after you. Would you clearly show it to us? Holy Spirit, we ask for gentleness. We ask for conviction. We do pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If the spirit of condemnation, it gets to our ears, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus today. Open our ears to hear. Open our minds to understand and a heart that is changed today. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us today. Break us. Melt us. Mold us. Shape us, renew us. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Christianity, our faith, it's a battleground, not a playground. It's a battleground. Our worship is war. And although we cannot see the spiritual realm, we know it's real, and our war, it's raging all over and around us, and we're a part of it, although we cannot see it. And there is confusion today. Confusion has crept into the church because of the accuser, our adversary, the one who deceives, the diablos, the devil. And he deceives, and he goes after truth. You got to know today, you're either saved or you're not saved. There is no such thing as a partially saved Christian. But yet many think they're saved and they have no concept of the severity of sin, the necessity of repentance in your life, no idea of what actually the message of grace is, because we keep sinning and we cheapen God's grace. We don't actually understand the message of the gospel, and we do not live fully surrendered lives to Jesus Christ. We're confused. Many think you're saved because of the Christian culture that you're in within the church, and you think you're saved because you go to church. Just like putting your head in an oven doesn't make your head a biscuit, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You'll remember that one. We think because you grew up in a Christian home, you're a Christian, rather than having a deep personal conviction of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Many are just admirers of Jesus. You only ask Jesus to take the wheel in a moment of crisis, and the rest of your life, you don't need him. Last week, we looked at the song Amazing Grace, and many of you, it's a song from memory and not a personal story. You have familiarity with church. You know the Christian lingo, yet the gospel in your life is hard to find. You function as if you don't need saving. Know this, no saving exists apart from full surrender to Jesus Christ. We sing like this God is more like the national mascot of this nation rather than a God who demands our faith, surrender, and repentance. This is war. There is an enemy of your soul that doesn't want you to go all out for Jesus Christ. There is compliance and ignorance raging within the walls of the American church today. We're confused. Holy Spirit, you need to awaken us and call the American church to action. The American church needs to get off politics and start getting on Jesus Christ, who changes lives. And if you don't like that statement, wait till I'm out there after the service and throw the ball at me then. Politics don't change hearts, only Holy Spirit changes hearts. And we need to be praying for our government, whether the elephant or the donkeys in the White House, be praying for them. And I'm convicted I don't pray for our governors and our leaders enough. It's easier to pray for the ones you like than the ones you don't like. It's Jesus Christ. It's not policies, it's Jesus. And we've got the message, and what are we doing? We're sitting in churches saying, I got my fill for the week. And then we go Monday through Saturday and we don't bring the gospel of message where we live, work, play, and learn. We have the label of Christian without Christ, which this is what it produces in our lives. It produces a generic faith that demands and asks of you nothing. And what we do with this type of faith is we look more like what's known today as a moral deist. Meaning, you believe a God who created, who wants people nice, to be happy, and eventually just go to heaven. Well, you can't without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus didn't come to make you nice. Jesus came to make you new. And I know we say we got to get back to our Christian roots as a nation. Our founding fathers were deists. They didn't preach Jesus, they preached in a creator God. And we need Jesus back. We need the cross back. As Paul says, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's what we need back. We need Jesus back in this nation and in our homes and in the American church. Whew. We're comfortable with the idea and talk about God. Maybe not so much Jesus, definitely not Holy Spirit. And we have no concept of full surrender and repentance over our sin. We're Jesus-admiring moral deists. That's what we've become in the American church. We worship a God that requires no self-sacrifice, no obedience, no submission, no surrender, and costs nothing of you. And some of us, we will miss heaven by 18 inches. Here's what I mean by that. You have knowledge, but absolutely no heart transformation, and you'll miss heaven by this 18 inches. Like, I don't get it, Pastor. But I know God, I know of him. You don't know him, you know of him. And you have demon faith, not Christ-centered faith. The demons believe. Why aren't they in heaven? Because they don't have transformation of their life. They have head knowledge, not heart transformation. And there are a lot of Christians who know a lot of things about God, but Matthew 7 ought to scare the snot out of each and every one of us, where it says, but God, we prophesied in your name, we did all these miracles. Yeah, because there is power in the name of Jesus. But Jesus sit there and go, but I never knew you. You did all this stuff that looked good. You did all the church stuff that looked good. But your heart, I never had. Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the narrow road that leads to him. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. And he says, many are going to find that road. But then he says, few will find the narrow path. Few, not many, few find it. I'm not going to leave a church that doesn't find. My heart and passion is for all of you to find the narrow road and let's be sold out to Jesus Christ. That's what I am passionate about for us. So the question is, how do we follow after him? What does it look like? Well, I love the words of Jesus because he tells it exactly how we need to hear it. And in three places, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is the hub of what we're going to look at. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is Jesus tells us what it looks like to follow after him. He says this, if anyone wants to follow after me, in your Bible, you ought to be highlighting after this, circling, underlining, because Jesus is telling you exactly what he wants. This is the exact same phrase that's used in Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9. Exact same thing. And Jesus is going to give us the three things, what it looks like to follow after him. Number one, he says this, you got to deny yourself. First thing, you want to follow Jesus? Deny yourself, meaning it ain't about you, cupcake. I love cupcakes. That's why I just keep using that word. It ain't about you. You're following after Jesus means it's not you anymore. It's not you. And by the way, when you realize it's not about you, pick up the cross, an instrument of torture and death. And I know 2,000 years we are in the American culture, we are so far removed from Roman crucifixion. But that bloody thing that you would die on, Jesus says, yeah, pick that thing up. Because your will's got to die on that. Your ambition has to die on that. Your approval has to die on that. Your sin has to die on that now. And you're going to pick it up. And then you're to follow me. In the ancient world, right, you would follow a rabbi, a teacher. And in the midst of it, the statement was to be covered in the dust of your rabbi, because you walked so closely behind your rabbi that when the sandals flicked the dust, it would cover you. That's how closely you were to your rabbi. Forget about you. Pick up the instrument of death and be covered in Jesus's dust. There it is. And the confusion that is in the world that you and I live in, we're chasing things that this culture's saying, self-promotion and comfort. And Jesus invites you and I into something radically different. Complete surrender. Here's what the world says, and you know it already. The world says, love yourself, right? Be true to you. Don't be true to you. Because you have sin, and then if you want to be true to you, you're true to sin. Love yourself, grab all you can, because work hard, it's about the American dream, work hard, grab as much as you can, and then by the way, go and follow your heart. Which scripture says the heart is the most deceitful thing you have. This is why the biblical writers say you have to have a circumcision of the heart. And kids, if you don't know what circumcision is, ask mom and dad after service. Moms, dads, throw balls at me afterwards, remember. Don't follow your heart. You need things cut out of your heart because it's deceitful. That's what you need. But Jesus says complete radical difference. Deny yourself, grab a cross, follow me. These two worldviews are absolutely juxtaposed to one another. And the question I have is, what one are you actually in? Because there's so many Christians that are actually in the world. That's what your life looks like. And we're calling that Christianity. And it's not. True life isn't found in indulging every desire you have, but laying ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it comes down to two things when it comes to Jesus. It's either you have a casual acceptance of Jesus or you have a complete surrender to Jesus. You either have a casual acceptance or a complete surrender. Casual acceptance says, well, I come to church, which is a great thing. We ought to. I'm for it. We should every single week. But Jesus is just my thing on Sunday morning. Monday through Saturday, I do what I want. And you just tag Jesus onto your life and ask him to bless your plans. Complete surrender says, God, it is nothing. I've laid it at your feet. I've laid it at the cross. I'm picking up the cross. I'm denying myself. God, your will be done, not mine. I'm all in with everything I have. My will, my soul, my ambition, my approval, my finances, my words, my action, everything, it's yours. Complete whole surrender. I love how Paul writes to the church in Philippi. And we get this letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. This is fantastic. Look at this. For this reason, God highly exalted him, meaning Jesus. Sorry, let me fix my... He highly exalted Jesus, gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christians are not people who just believe some things. We are people who have completely surrendered to the call and to the life of Jesus Christ. The life I live has to die in order for I to come alive. It's the Son of God who gave up his life for me. This is why Paul writes to the region of Galatia, which is southern Turkey today. And there's all these churches there, Colossae, Laodicea, and all these churches in this southern region of present-day Turkey, known as Galatia. And we get the letter Galatians. This is what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He understood the call of what Jesus is saying is deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. And Paul's writing to the Christians. He says, guys, you have to be crucified with Christ. And it's now not you inside. It's the Holy Spirit living for Christ now in you. And please lean in. What is painful to watch and is a very modern error is partial surrender being defined as Christianity. I'm going to say that again. What is painful to watch and is a very modern error is partial surrender being called Christianity. God doesn't make deals. What do you have to offer God? Have you thought about it? Here's the answer. No thing, nothing. The only thing you ever contributed was your sin. That's what you contributed. Make you feel good? Nope. Because it's your sin that held Jesus to the cross. What do we have to offer? What happens is so many of us think we're believers and we have never actually fully surrendered to God, to Jesus. He has a little bit of us, but not all of us. And we're calling that Christianity today. Some of you are like, yeah, but you know, I'll surrender. Like, I don't really want to go to hell. Sounds bad. My parents are like church people, and I want them to love me. So I'm going to go and I'm going to say this to them, but here's what I want to do. I want to hold on to what I believe sexual ethics should be. I want to hold on to the way I think healthcare should be. But I want to hold on to the way I think gender identity should be. I want to hold on to the way I use my words to gossip around people. I want to hold on to the way I spend my money because I work hard and it's mine, and how dare the church tell me to tithe. I'm going to keep all this, but I'm not giving that up. But you know, I need a little bit of Jesus though, because I don't want to go to hell. So we created Jesus that we're a little more comfortable with, a Jesus that fits our lifestyle better, and a Jesus who is okay with a half-hearted devotion, our lukewarmness, one that's not too dangerous, but sits nicely in the background to bless my worldview and my plans. We take the Jesus of the Bible and twist him into our image so he looks like us, thinks like us, and aligns with us. And come Sunday morning, lifting hands in worship through song, we end up worshiping ourselves when we think we're worshiping Jesus of the Bible. Whoo, turn to your neighbor and says, I think he does love us. Sorry, I'm passionate. Can I tell you why? Because I know one day I'm going to be held to a higher standard than you all because I'm a preacher of the word. That's biblical. I so dearly, in my heart of hearts, want to hear Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. I want to look Jesus in the face and say, Jesus, I gave it everything I had to shake radiant life, to surrender everything to you. And I dare not want to stand, if this is true, the pearly gates of heaven and see you get rejected because you sat in every sermon I've ever preached, but at the end of the day, never gave your life to Jesus Christ all in. And we thought we were Christians. I don't want that. I do not want that. And here's what we do often. We take this piece of paper and what we do is we sign this paper. We list on the front side everything you're gonna promise you're gonna do to God. And then we sign it and we give this paper back to God, says, okay, now on the back side, you write everything you're gonna do for me and sign it. And we're gonna call that my faith. And that's not complete surrender. That's still you trying to control the situation. You know why I'm in all black today? Because I hope you have a funeral of your pride, of your control, of your finances, of your words, and of your action, and of your ambition. I hope you have a funeral today of it. And I knew I was getting wet, so I needed to wear black in case it showed through. This is what our faith is. It's giving a blank sheet of paper to God and say, you fill it out, God, you sign it, I will obey. I don't get opinion on this, God. It's yours. Because I gave my life to you, and now it's you who lives in me, not me. This is why I love baptism. I am dead to myself, and I come up alive with Christ. Myself is dead. It's no longer me. It is an all-out moment. This is complete surrender, letting God dictate the terms, not us. Complete surrender will feel like death to you because it's death that ultimately leads to life. It's death that ultimately leads to life. Even Jesus' words in the Gospel
according to John. He says this in John 12:24, "Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." See, so many of us, we want resurrection life. We want resurrection power without dying first. Have you surrendered to the lordship of Jesus, or have you tagged Jesus onto your life like he's an accessory to you? Many people admire the teachings of Jesus. They enjoy Christian culture. They add faith as an accessory to improve their lives. Christianity, brothers and sisters, is far deeper than this. Following Jesus means complete, full surrender to his lordship. He is now master of it all in your life. Jesus is not your accessory. Jesus is your savior. He is your Lord. And that will make your knees bow to him. So any guesses what hymn we're going to look at? I surrender all. No, I'm not going to keep going. That's enough. I'm going to finish this up, and then we're going to close with our three worship songs. All worship songs on surrender. 1890, a man by the name of Judson Van Deventer worked as an art teacher in his public school system. He was actually extremely gifted in art, but also gifted in education, and he married the two together, became an art teacher, and was thriving. Students loved him. The city loved him. He was an active member in his church. He loved to go to all the evangelistic meetings, which just means like these gospel meetings when the gospel was presented and people got saved. And when his church would put them on, he would like love going to them. He got all excited about it. And his friends began to notice this excitement with him. And they're like, "Man, you are so passionate about when our church does these evangelistic gospel nights. Maybe you should go into full-time ministry." And he's like, "But I love art and I love teaching and I love that." And he didn't want to leave that craft behind. And he went to a meeting that was happening in East Palestine, Ohio. Enough said there with that state. And if you're watching, we love you, not your state. We just love you, not your university. And we may have to delete that later. And he's in this battle struggle between developing his art talents and teaching students to maybe I'm really passionate about the gospel and full-time ministry. And he's at this meeting when a pivotal hour came, and he said, "It was at this meeting I fully surrendered." He didn't realize he had never fully surrendered and went all in. And this is what Judson says. He said this: "A new day ushered into my life, and God had hidden a song in my heart. Touching a tender chord, he caused me to sing. And it was birthed in that meeting, the song, I surrender all." To which it goes like this, if you've never heard it: "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence, daily life." Can I say just that first verse? It is so convicting. Because we can change these words to say, "All to Jesus I slightly surrender. All to him, I decide to when I want to give. I will ever love and trust him on my terms. In his presence, only on my Sunday life." We can do that. And maybe you're sitting there going, "I wouldn't do that," but your life actually says another thing. Worship team, you guys are coming up. "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." Verse 2. Oh, it's so good. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, and let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. This is war. There's a spiritual war for your heart, your allegiance, your time, and your attention. Brothers and sisters, we are settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves when the central message of Christianity is about abandoning ourselves. And we have fit to make a faith about us and not a faith about Christ. So let me ask you again. Casual acceptance of this Jesus or complete surrender to this Jesus? Because when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to our faith and moving it from head knowledge to heart transformation, the 18 inches, you got to know that it's only Jesus, it's only Jesus, and it's all of you. Not a little bit of you, it's all of you. It is an all-in moment. Get out of the boat and jump in moment in your life. Is Jesus the absolute center of your life, or is he simply an addition to your life? And maybe you can fill in this blank. I surrender. You fill it in to you, Jesus. Can I tell you what mine was? For the longest of time, it was I surrender ambition to you, Jesus. I surrender ambition to you. Many of you, you know my story. You've heard it before. I was running away from my call. I knew my freshman year in college, I was called to ministry, but I didn't want to go into ministry. Ran away from it, but I liked teaching, so I decided to go into biology secondary education so I could teach science in the high school level. And then I minored in history. And I just wanted to be a high school teacher so I could teach what I loved. I love science. I love digging into understanding a little bit more depth into why things happen. But I also wanted to coach sports. So I did my student teaching my last semester in Grand Rapids at Cornerstone University. I did my student teaching at a Christian high school across the street where I got to coach tennis and be a part of that community for a semester there. And I loved teaching the kids. I was teaching sophomores biology and then juniors and seniors in anatomy. And here's a fun fact for you, just a fun fact. My first lesson, my unit that I had to teach in anatomy was the digestive system, okay? And I get to teach it, and I'm a guy who has digestive problems. Like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, like, yep, that's me. And so I get colonoscopies a lot. It's an expensive nap, basically. It's a free nap. It's not free, but you got to pay for the nap because you don't know what happens. My last time I had a colonoscopy, I tried fighting the medicine. I wanted to see how long I could stay awake. Bad idea. Doctor looks down. He's like, is he out yet? And they're like, nope. They're like, give him more. I'm like, I'm winning. And then I'm out. Don't do that. That's bad. Because I had a hard time waking up afterwards. I don't remember anything. Where was I going? Fun fact. I had a video of my colonoscopy. I showed it to those juniors and seniors. I said, you will forget who I am, but you will forever remember that student teacher who showed you his intestines inside. Graduate, driving down 131 at 5:30 in the morning. Ryan, are you gonna go into ministry or not? Very few times have I felt like I've heard the audible voice of God. That was one of those moments. Got home, told my wife, I got to go to seminary. Got to get my master's degree. What is it for you that you got to surrender? I don't need to tell you. Because the Spirit of God's going to tell you. We're going to sing three songs. The altar's open. Down to the sides, if you want a little bit more room to get on your knees, it's all open. But no more half, partially surrendered faith and calling it Christianity. Let's go all in today. Let's lay it down. Let's surrender some things.